From my microphones in downtown Washington, D.C., this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. We have, I think, a really interesting program today, day reporting. These are individuals who come to my agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. They go to day reporting when they haven't done all that well, and there are problems in their supervision or they're not getting jobs. And what we do is we say, well, you're going to have to go to the day reporting center on a day-to-day basis, and you're going to be talking with Mr. Walter Higgins. He is the program manager of the day reporting center, and we also have two folks who are currently under our supervision. Again, we are a federal agency providing parole and probation services in Washington, D.C., and I'm not going to use the real names. I'm just going to refer to them as Pookie as the first person and Cole as the second person. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the gist of our show, I want to remind everybody that we are, again, very, very pleased with the amount of people who are listening to the show. We are up to close to 200,000 individuals, 200,000 requests, I should say, for DC Public Safety radio, television, blog, and transcripts at media.cesosa.gov. Really interested in your comments in the show, suggestions, criticisms, feel free to give them. You can either comment in the comment box at DC Public Safety, again, media.cesosa.gov, or you can get to me directly by email, which is Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, dot Sipes, S-I-P, not T, but P-E-S, at CSOSA.gov, or you can follow me by Twitter. It's Twitter.com or Twitter.com/Len, L-E-N, Sipes, S-I-P-E-S, without any separation. So back to our program. Walter Higgins, the program manager of the Day Reporting Center. How you doing, Walter?
Good morning, Len. How are you today?
I'm all right. You know, Walter, I've been to the Day Reporting Center maybe three, four times in the past, and I remember we were doing Fugitive Safe Surrender, which was a program designed to get people who are wanted for criminal warrants to voluntarily surrender. So I did a couple focus groups with the folks at Day Reporting, and boy, were they were an interesting bunch of folk. You know, you really got the sense that a lot of these individuals were on the edge, that they're in the community today, but they may go back to prison the following day. You know, I just did not get the sense that these were the most disciplined bunch of folks on the face of the earth. Walter?
Well, Len, a part of that is partially true. And the reason I say that, because at the Day Reporting Center, it is sort of our one-stop shop to try to get folks back into compliance, as well as to try to get individuals to become more employable. And that could range from anything from dealing with issues of substance abuse, dealing with issues of homelessness, dealing with issues of literacy, dealing with issues of mental health, dealing with a lot of hosts of things, personal problems. Mm-hmm. And so that can trigger one's supervision that causes them to make decisions that places them at risk. So the Day Reporting Center, so you do get those folks, and that's our job to kind of mold them back and get them refocused in order to be productive, not only in their lives, but in the community.
But they're close to going back to prison.
Well, yeah, a lot of them, because if you don't follow the conditions of supervision, you will go back to prison. Mm-hmm. if you don't follow
if
those conditions.
If you keep pulling positive drug tests, if you don't show up for drug testing, if the neighbors keep complaining that you're out on the corner at 1 o'clock in the morning smoking reefer and raising hell, you're close to going back to prison.
And that's correct. And fortunate for us, CSOSA has understand that there's a way to kind to intercede to give another opportunity, another resources, and still hold accountability to try to avoid that going back to prison.
The bottom line in all of this is, and this is the larger question for parole and probation agencies throughout the country, Walter, is the whole concept of maintaining individuals in the community as long as they are not a threat to public safety. So if the person is arrested for a violent crime, he goes.
Right.
Nobody's questioning that. If he's arrested for a burglary, he goes. But the point is that there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the middle, in between. And the larger sense for all of us in parole and probation, and in Canada, in England, and believe it or not, in China, because we've provided technical assistance to China on this very issue, is how you maintain folks in the community safely, not threatening public safety, and help them basically stop the drug positives, get the job, clean up the attitude. Am I right or wrong? Am I in the ballpark?
You are right on point. And I think CSOS is unique because I believe that we are on the right path, because what you're talking about is in a time of financial constraints. Roughly, we have anywhere to 40 to 50 that's always in the day reporting center.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to house a federal prisoner is $22,000. So if you take our 50 guys, that's roughly over $1,100,000, and my math might be a little bit off, but it's roughly over $1 million. So what CSOSA has done with this day reporting center is offered a one-stop shop, a place where folks on probation can come and, one, get structure, mm-hmm. can get programming, and can get discipline, as well as get the resources from our community partnerships, from what we have in-house to kind of try to combat that, so you don't have to deal with, you know, folks returning to prisons and giving them an opportunity. So that's been the dilemma. And CSOS's answer is to, let's not bring folks in who may be drifting,
mm-hmm.
and bring them, if it's substance abuse, bring them substance abuse education.
Mm-hmm.
If it's dealing with structure, have a place where these individuals can come in and they report 10 for 5 to 6 hours, but make that time constructive. Make that time where they can receive positive information, as well as have a positive support system.
Okay, got it. And just for the record, I just want to tell the listeners that there are a variety of programs here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, where it is a, I don't know what we call all of the different programs that we have, but they're designed to provide a variety of activities, a variety of I don't know what the word is, opportunities, a variety of modalities, based upon the offender's unique individual needs, all the way to a 30-day placement in a treatment center. Excuse me, to deal with either mental health or substance abuse or other problems. So this is just one of a variety of programs where we try to do the best to protect public safety, and at the same time try to get that individual to understand that he's got to work every day. He's got to stop pulling drug positives. He's got to cooperate, and he's got to lose the attitude.
You're right on point.
All right, cool. Pookie, we're going to go over to you now. Really appreciate you being here. Now, you are part of the day reporting structure now.
That's correct. How you doing, Lenny? How
I'm
you
doing,
America?
Fine. You know, the interesting thing, Pookie, is that, boy, you don't fit the stereotype. Last time I was at day reporting, everybody was young and dressed young and looked young. You're an older gentleman.
Well, I'm considered old time.
In a suit and tie, you look good. You look like you're the president of a bank.
Well, half my battle has been won because of my appearance.
You know what? Who said that? Somebody said, I forget who said it, some famous celebrity, Woody Allen, I think it was, who said that 80% of life and life's battles is just showing up. And then somebody came along and said, well, it's 80% just showing up and dressed in a suit or dressed appropriately. And that's 80% of life. 80% of the success in life is just showing up and looking good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And that's you figured that out.
That's correct.
All right. How'd you get into the day reporting program?
Well, I got into day reporting program because I violated conditions of parole. I came home. I tried unsuccessfully to get a job, and it's been like 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my parole officer decided to try something new,
mm-hmm.
which was he referred me to the day reporting center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there because of sanction, because my urine is positive. I'm not there because I failed to report to his office. And I'm not there because I failed to be at my home when he had a home visit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically there to try something new, to try another avenue, to try to get myself back in the mainstream of a job. Mm-hmm. And
what's your background, by the way? Somebody listening can hopefully get you a job today.
My background is being raised in a juvenile institution from the time I was 8 up until, let's say, 47. I've always been a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Even in prison,
mm-hmm.
I've always been able to motivate.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, I'm going to try to use these skills when I get into the community.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job cleaning the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The pay wasn't that great,
mm-hmm.
but I felt good about making an honest dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I advanced from team leader to supervisor to senior supervisor to acting project manager.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I normally motivate and I talk to my coworkers.
What happened?
However,
something happened.
I did come up with a dirty urine.
Okay.
Over a 5-year period in the community. First okay. job I ever had in my life.
First dirty urine under supervision?
Not my first dirty urine.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that my first dirty urine kind of, it had a conflict between me and my parole officer because my dirty urine was alcohol.
All right.
And see, under conditions of parole, you can't drink alcohol but in moderation.
All right.
Not in excess.
So, but you're out of work now, right?
I'm out of work now.
And why is that?
I'm out of work now because I came home last year in November.
From prison?
From prison.
Okay.
Right. I had to go through the reentry center program.
Right, which is another one of our alternative programs.
Correct.
Okay. Or not in this case, not an alternative program, but a mode of transitioning the individual from prison into the community through intensive drug treatment, mental health, that sort of stuff.
Inpatient.
Got it.
I also That's went correct. Through drug treatment, which is second genus.
Cool. Okay, so you went through the whole shebang.
Our
drug treatment, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is not what most people think of drug treatment. It's not twice a week for an hour in a group setting. It is pretty intensive.
It is all day.
A thorough analysis of the individual and then placing this person into a residential group setting and a plan for follow-up relapse prevention when the person gets out, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Now,
did it work?
It worked. I successfully completed each and every component of the reentry program.
All right. So you're not doing drugs?
I'm not doing drugs. Matter of fact, I've been home since November of 28 of last year. So, and all my urines are negative.
Okay. So you were one of our success stories. So instead of throwing you back in prison, you're back in the community and you're trying to make it.
I'm trying to make it. I'm not asking for welfare. I'm not asking for I'm just asking for a handout. I'm asking for an extended hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking to give me an opportunity because my last job, I was given an opportunity.
Why'd you lose the last job?
Because I was violated, not because
violated.
Anything on the job.
Okay, but you went back to prison.
I went back to
prison. What's your skill set? What do you do? What are you good at?
Well, I'm good at stripping floors. I'm good at carpentry. I'm good at motivating. I'm good at supervising. I'm good at fixing small equipment, lawnmowers, weed whackers. I've been able to use...
So you're a hands-on sort of guy.
I was because I learned each and every phase of my job. That's why I got to the point of acting supervisor.
Okay, cool.
That's good.
Cool. And you were working for the city at the time?
I was working for a private company
that does work for the city. A private company that does work for the city. Okay. Anybody out there who's got a job for Pookie, let me tell you, he looks like a bank president. sitting here, I mean, it just looks like a bank president. We're going to go over to another gentleman who came in today. He's currently under supervision, and we're just going to call him Cool. I've heard the name 40 years in the criminal justice system. Cool breeze, cool man, cool kid. I've heard about every variation of cool on the face of the earth. How you doing, Cool?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right. Now, you look like a rock star. You look like you're just fresh off of MTV. Doing something or other. You've got this fresh face, young man look going about you. And, tell me a little bit about your involvement in the day reporting system, Cool.
Well, the Day Reporting Center has done very good for me. Instead of my CSO sending me back to jail, she sent me to the Day Reporting Center, which is good.
Right, and the CSO is Community Supervision Officer,
yes.
What most people would call a parole and probation agent throughout the rest of the country. So what did you do that got you, instead of going back to prison, you went here?
Well, I participated. I mean, I could have said no.
What did you do? What was your violation?
Oh, I didn't catch any violations. I had no violations. It was because I didn't obtain employment.
All right, so you're not out there finding work.
Yes.
Do you have work now?
No, not at all, sir.
All right, but you're getting work.
Yes.
Cool. All right. What's your impression about the Day Reporting Center? Is it a huge pain in the rear? Is it helpful? What's your gut perception of this?
Well, the Day Reporting Center to me, it offers a lot of good programs. You know, I mean, everyone has their own opinion, But for me, I think the Day Reporting Center is a good program. You know, I can relate to I'm down at the Day Reporting Center 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So out of those 5 days a week, I can relate to at least about four and a half classes out of there. I say four and a half because at one point in time, it's from one to three, you know. So it's a certain person speaking at one till two, and then from two till three.
I'm going to reintroduce all three of you because, believe it or not, we're halfway through the half-hour program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. Walter Higgins is the program manager of the Dave Reporting Center for our agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. Walter brought in a couple gentlemen with him today who are part of the process of the Dave Reporting Center, and we're not using their real names. We're calling just one, Pookie, the bank manager, and Cool, the gentleman from MTV. And that's how I have them all figured out in my mind. Let's have a larger discussion for the last 15 minutes, and I'm going to go back to you, Cole, because I didn't give you a lot of time. What society is saying and the emails that I get and the communications that I get from people who hear these shows, and I'm also teaching a class at the University of Maryland right now, and I'm getting sort of like half down the middle of where half of folks are saying, you know, these individuals try to do what you can to keep them in the community. If they don't have to go back to prison, I really don't want to pay all the money to send them back to prison. But I want to be protected. That's the bottom line. So if you can figure out, Mr. Sipes, you and your agency, if you can figure out who's going to do well on community supervision and who needs to go back to prison, well, then cool. But I'm not really quite sure I trust your judgment. Pookie and Cool, we'll go with you. I mean, how do you respond to people on the outside who basically said, look, you know, my man, you've been in prison. We expect you to work and pay your taxes and don't have any dirty urines. We don't want you doing drugs. We want you to be a model citizen, and you know, that's what we want out of you. How do you respond to that?
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a model citizen. You know, it's harder for certain people. You know, they do say most of the time a person that's been convicted to go to jail for 5 years and come back home and stay on the streets for 6 months and then go right back to jail for another 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I...
Prison on the installment plan. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I have totally went over that opinion, like I've been out on the streets longer than I've been in prison.
Okay, how long you been out in the street?
About 2 years now.
All right.
I was locked up for about 20 months.
All right. Why aren't you employed?
Well, because, I mean, I'm not going to say because people aren't hiring. Maybe it's because I'm not doing my best, to be honest with you. I'm trying, you know, but I'm not doing my best. There's a lot of other things, you know, on the outside world as far as financially, you know, other things.
See, the thing that blows me away, and this is something that deals with some stereotypes, and I apologize for those stereotypes, but nevertheless, they are there. When the public out there hears the word criminal, quote-unquote criminal, somebody's caught up in the criminal justice system, they have a pre-arranged vision in their minds as to who that individual is. I'm looking at both of you, and both of you look and sound like anybody else that you're going to find on the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not an ounce of stereotype in either one of your presentations. So the public is now sitting back and going, okay, well, I'm not quite sure what Len Sipes is looking at, and I'm not there, so I can't make my own judgments, but daggone it, I want people who come out of prison to toe the line and not go back and to be responsible. So that's their emphasis. Now, is it that we don't provide enough programs, society provides too many temptations, you don't have enough self-discipline? What is it? I mean, speaking for yourself and people who you've been in contact with out on the street, what's up with the folks who go back? Because there's no hope for them? What's the issue?
Let me jump in for a second.
Walter Higgins.
Because you talked about, and I like what you said, but keep in mind, these two gentlemen have had a place to practice, okay? Mm-hmm. You have the DRC, you have this haven where if, when we have this saying, the lion's den.
Right.
Where you can have a place where you can bring all up those issues into this forum and we discuss it.
Mm-hmm. And as a group.
As a group or individually. We do some things individually. Part of that is when society is talking about the whole rehabilitation and we want you to get a job and things like that. I think enough attention is not paid to the steps to get a job. Do I have the soft skills as far as my dress, communication? Can I deal with conflict? When my boss says something or my supervisor says something I don't like, do I go off the handle like I've seen growing up if I didn't have structure and role modeling? Or do I go and deal with that person and use some of the skills, conflict resolution, pull my supervisor to the side and do the things that we're talking about in group? See, I think a lot of that stereotype is because not everybody has had the benefit. Maybe not everyone has had a positive role model. Maybe there's not been that type of intervention like the DRC. So to stick someone in a job and say, or to say, be successful, what does that mean? How do, if I've never been successful or never had that type of training, then what are we talking about?
And that's something that the public struggles with, because our reality is that recovery, say, let's just say drug treatment. An addict wants that drug, an alcoholic wants that drink every single day of their lives. How they cope with that every single day becomes a learning process. And they've got to be taught how to do that. But relapse, which means positive urines, is a daily reality for us because it's part of the addictions process and it's part of the recovery process. Where the average person is going to say, man, he's out of prison, he's got three positives for cocaine, please send him back to prison. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to struggle with every single day. And the other part of it is what we call cognitive therapy, where it's thinking through stuff and thinking in a different way. And you're right. How many people have been fired because they simply mouthed off to the boss?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, how many times did I want to tell bosses, not my current boss, certainly, but in the past, mm-hmm. how many times did I want to tell him to, or her to go do something? Mm-hmm. And I came close more than a couple occasions. Mm-hmm. But if that's in me, that's in everybody.
Right.
That's in these gentlemen, that's in you, that's
right.
in me, that's in everybody listening to the program. But how you respond to that provocation is what makes the difference. And within your program, what I hear is that you teach them how to respond.
And we role model. I mean, and these gentlemen will attest, we actually do scenarios where we may do mock interviews or we may, you know, role play that we're on the job and someone might make an inappropriate response or an advance. And you're under the microscope or understudy, and how do you respond? And mm-hmm. then we'll stop it, and we'll get critiqued. Mm-hmm. And so now that becomes a part of your muscle memory or your experience. So if I'm ever placed that in that situation before, mm-hmm. at least I have a frame of reference.
It's automatic in terms of how you respond. Instead of responding with a mouth,
exactly.
you respond appropriately.
Exactly.
Because Lord knows we all have difficult bosses.
Including myself.
Everybody on the face of the earth has a difficult boss. Why is that? Pookie or Cool, either one of you. I mean, what we're saying is that a lot of folks under supervision, you don't have to talk specifically for yourself, but talk specifically or generally in terms of the people that you've been in contact with. What we're saying is we got to retrain a lot of human beings that may not have been brought up correctly. I don't know if that's an appropriate term to say, but people get my drift. And people got to learn basic skills in terms of how to work with other human beings throughout life. I mean, how many people in the domestic violence unit, which is another one of our programs, I mean, you can't hit your wife.
That's right.
You can't even raise your fist
right.
to your wife.
Right.
And that is something that they didn't know.
Right.
Now, people are sitting there going, wait, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the folks don't know this. There are a lot of folks that we supervise who don't know this stuff. Cool, you're trying to say something and say it into the microphone.
Okay, well, as you all were just saying, I mean, there's some people that were brought up with different views, you mm-hmm. know. If someone grows up as a child seeing their mother being hit on all day, or seeing someone selling drugs around them, their whole life being brought up, they think that's the right thing to do to make money or the right way to treat a female. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in this program in the DRC, they get to know you. You know, you have open discussions, scenarios that other people can relate to. I mean, I think with your CSO, my CSO, she gave me a chance. She brought me to the, she introduced me to the DRC, you know, and it's helped me a whole lot. You know, it's motivated me to go on job interviews and go seek out employment because I've never really had a job, you know. So coming here gave me the skills to know what I needed to do to obtain the job, mm-hmm. you know. And if you don't know a person, you know, if you don't know why they're acting the way that they're acting or why they speak the way they speak or their behavior, I mean, you can't really help them unless you get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, wow. You got people out here who are on drugs their whole life, you know, who are abused their whole life, and certain people don't know that. So of course you're going to have people going back to jail and violating probation, because after a while they're going to say, I don't care anymore, mm-hmm. you know. But with the DRC, man, and you get to know, you see that the stereotype isn't always right, you know. Like, as you said about me, you know, most people look at me on the street and say, hey, here's this young looking guy, you know, he's probably out here selling drugs. Mm-hmm. He's probably out here. No, I'm not doing any of that, you know.
But your presentation is somebody that has a college degree.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
The way that you present yourself is pretty daggone impressive. So I'm sitting here going, okay, if you've got the look, if you've got the whole thing down in terms of how to interact with people, why can't you get a job?
Good point.
That is a good point. That is a good point. Well, to be honest with you, I mean, maybe like the stereotype, they look at me, they see me, and they like, they look at my past, you know, my criminal record, and they're like, I'm not gonna hire this guy before they sit down and have a conversation with me. You know, I think if someone was to actually sit down in an interview and have an actual conversation with me,
mm-hmm.
I think I have a 100% shot at getting a job.
Pookie, one of the things that's always astounded me is two things. I understand that there is discrimination. In some cases, we're not talking about discrimination. We're talking about law, mm-hmm. saying that you can't hire a person with a particular background. So if you're going to go into a daycare center, you can't hire somebody who's a sex offender. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. But the overwhelming majority of people under supervision are employed at a certain point in their lives. You know, I mean, guys with criminal records get jobs all the time. So how do you frame this to the American public? And 20% of our audience is beyond the shores of the United States. So how what do you say to the folks in China and France? And what do you say to folks about this whole sense of succeeding?
Well, I can only look at myself. It seems like most employees now are asking for resumes.
Right.
It's not like a personal, you go in the office and you have an interview and you sit down to somebody and you explain to them, you tell them your story about why you need a job. It's about resume. Resume is just basically built on what is your criteria for this job? What else do you have to offer?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are looked at as a commodity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have that experience or that knowledge of, let's say, working, or that work ethics, or that motivation, mm-hmm. you're not going to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can write anything on the piece of paper, but
right.
they always just put that piece of paper on the side. I have walked these payments for the last 4 months each and every day. I had to bring my parole officer verification that I went to this
right.
business.
Right.
To the point where I had blisters on my feet,
and basically,
on my ankles.
Nobody's hiring you is what you're saying.
Nobody has hired me. But that hasn't lost. I hasn't really folded up or thought about using drugs or thought about committing a crime. All I need is a job.
I hear you.
That's all I need is a job.
I hear
now,
you.
Because I'm in the DRC program, that program is another avenue into maybe, let's say, training me in various apprenticeship programs.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've been referred to. CDL,
mm-hmm. okay.
The Greater Washington
Back
is a component of CSOS, which a community.
Are you talking about commercial driver's licenses?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Because I would like there's a lot of guys who have served heavy-duty time in prison who are now out there driving trucks, and there are some of them out there hiring other truck drivers. They're doing extraordinarily well. The half an hour is going by way too fast. What I'd like to do is invite you all back, the three of you. Come on back in 3 months and give me a progress report.
Love to come back.
And I'd love to have you back on the radio because we really haven't gotten enough time to discuss all the different things I wanted to discuss. Our participants today, Walter Higgins, Program Manager of the Dave Reporting Center for the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. We have Pookie, and not his real name, obviously, but the gentleman looks like a bank manager. He's looking for work, got lots of skills, hard skills. And Cole is somebody who you want to up front to impress everybody because he's got that look going on. Just gentlemen, I wish you the best of luck. Anybody out there looking for what seems to be wonderful individuals to hire, we've got them right here. Contact me, Leonard, Leonard, Sipes, Sipes, at csosa.gov. Ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate everything that you've done for the show. 196,000 requests last month. Have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.
Thank you, Len.
Thank you.
Thank you.